Hey there, how you doing? It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks, The Money Show. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Hang on, Gregory will be here in a second, just grabbing something off the printer. There he is. So it's your financial show. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, Gregory is in the building, so the phone lines are open. You can call and get some help, 504-260-0995, 504-260-0995. You can also give us a call or text from the front screen of the Winning It Life app. Lots to cover on the show today. The fiscal news, or the financial news, business news, whatever you want to call it. It is blowing and going, and it is alive and kicking, and it's just not getting covered at all. The amount of digging that we have to do to come up with the content for this show in the last week has basically had to double our efforts. Because, look, I'm over here on Fox Business. They're just talking about politics. It was so frustrating. You know where my oasis actually was today, Gregory? I'm going to give them a ton of credit here. CNBC. I spent more time on CNBC today than any other channel, just because I wanted to avoid this.
Yeah, show. You're going to hear much less politics over there, to almost the extent they ignore it.
Well, they did have a little problem for a while there, but they seem to have gotten away from that. And it's almost like they did it on purpose. It's almost like, wow, if we just actually do news, we're not competing against anybody. It's kind of the feeling I get.
Financial news.
We have a lot that's happening that's supposed to happen before the end of this session, this congressional session. And they've said... Pelosi and Mitch McConnell both said we'd like to get to this spending bill. We'd like to get that done. The Secure Act, we now have confirmation that that is part of the spending bill. They're looking at a drug pricing bill, and they would also like to pass. Now, I don't know if they're going to mess with it or try and make some amendments, and that'll end up getting it delayed. But that's what they want to do, and that's a lot to do before the end of the session. How much of this do you think is actually going to pass? We know the spending bill has to pass.
Well, what part are you asking me about?
Well, they say they're going to get to the spending bill, put the Secure Act in there, the drug pricing bill, the USMCA. Can they really get all this done before the end of the session?
Yeah, the bills are already in place. They just like put a hook on it and it's done.
All right, so this is
like they're slamming stuff through at the point. I don't know what's the rush at the last minute. They have only had months and months to work on this stuff. They could have done all of this stuff, but they're like, oh, okay, let's do that, because beginning of the year we're back to impeachment again or whatever. And I don't even know where they are on. Did they impeach him today or not?
Yeah, they voted on the articles there, and it passed.
It did. So yeah. He's technically been impeached.
Yes.
By the House.
Right.
Okay. Well, see, next we get the spectacle in the Senate on whatever plays out there. So, you know, it's more of something. And of course, they're about the business of, they're probably knowing, well, the Senate's not going to impeach him, so we got to go find some more stuff. So they're passing some bills right now, like they're in the bill mood. You know, they're in the mood to pass some bills and get it done. So don't expect anything else for a while. You know, the trade agreements. Yeah, let's get those done too. All at the same time, let's be about some work. Otherwise, they're probably positioning themselves, each party's positioning themselves, well, we got to look good for the voters in November. This is maybe where they go. I don't know.
All right. Well, the Secure Act, setting every community up for retirement enhancement. It just spells out secure, but it's a spending bill more than anything in Congress.
Well,
it's in the spending bill. There's a
lot there. I see you got like two pages. That does not. There's a lot.
Yeah.
There, and I've got a whole bunch of stuff printing on the printer. It was the printer's deciding to go slow. Usually, you know, this thing you push print, it fires it off. It's having to think about every page. On that. So kind of let's get cranked up on it a little bit there. So look, I don't think the Senate passed it today. So what you were telling me is they not pass, but look, this is going to pass. It's in the bill. The Secure Act is going to pass. So here's, you know, we're going to talk about some of the key retirement changes effective for 2020. So it eliminates age limit for making traditional IRA contributions.
So it doesn't raise it. It eliminates it, huh?
Right. Used to, once you reach age 70, you could not contribute to an IRA. It's eliminating that. It's also increasing RMD's age to 72. Required minimum distributions. That's where forever and ever, once you turn 70 and a half, you had to start taking distributions from your IRA. Well, that is changing to age 72. So those that had to start this year are going to get a little break on that, it looks like. Allows penalty-free withdrawals for birth or adoption. So you can raid your IRA if need be for those two causes. And hey, it's a good cause.
Yeah.
Allows taxable non-tuition fellowship and stipend payments to be treated as compensation to qualify for an IRA or Roth IRA contribution. Once again, non-tuition fellowship and stipend payments to be treated as comp for the purpose of putting money away for the future. Provides employer liability protection for annuities and plans. So now you're going to see I'll say it this way. You're going to probably see some safe money choices for real added into plans.
What's it look like now?
Well, it looks like mutual funds inside of IRAs, bonds and stock variations of that. Some plans are having ETFs as well. It's called risk accounts unless you put stable value. You don't see annuities. So what they're doing is creating, and because what do annuities do? Protect you from living too long because they can provide guaranteed payouts. And what does life insurance protect you from?
Dying too soon.
So that's what you're actually seeing. If anything, that probably like, well, we thought annuities were bad. You hear people ever, I hate annuities. I would die before I sell an annuity, whatever. Okay. Well, this is, if they're so bad, why are we putting these tools with guarantees inside of a plan? You know, what is a pension?
An annuity.
It's really an annuity because it's guaranteed payments for the rest of your life. Now, it's more complicated than that because there's various types of annuities, but you just think about it. Like, if anything, this is like puts a rubber stamp legitimate. Like, why is it so bad? Because if it's in my plan, what's the problem with it?
I'm going to remember that.
Be careful on what you hate on.
I'm going to remember that pushback. Well, then what's a pension? If annuities are bad, then what's a pension? I like that.
Yeah. Okay, so continuing, let's see, where was I at before we got going there? So provides liability protection for annuities. So it means they're okaying those to be put in the plan, and if something goes wrong, it doesn't cause liability to the owner, just like stocks and bonds don't create a liability. And even though those are risky and can go the wrong way. And here's probably the huge bad thing. That's a key part of the changes. It eliminates the stretch IRA. So your non-spouse beneficiaries can't take the distributions over their lifetime. And we'll talk more about details on that as well.
Yeah, a little report here says it would limit it to 10 years. The account must be drained within 10 years of the owner's death. I really hope that gets a little tweak before the Senate touches it. I'm not sure if we like that in there or not. Boy, the bill itself passed the House when the Secure Act, when it was going through the House, 417-3 last spring, but it didn't get through the Senate, so now it just got tacked onto this bill.
Well, they finally picked it up, but the new law regarding stretch IRA, it replaces with a 10-year payout for all beneficiaries except for 5 eligible designated beneficiaries. Status as an eligible designated beneficiary is determined on the date of death of the employee or IRA owner. 5 classes of eligible designated bennies, which means they're exempt from the 10-year post-death payout, is a surviving spouse, minor children up to majority, disabled individuals, chronically ill, and beneficiary not more than 10 years younger than the IRA owner or employee. So there's some exceptions. So those 5 situations are still eligible for the stretch.
That last one's interesting.
Yeah, beneficiary not more than 10 years younger. So it's close age to the decedent is basically what they're saying. If you're within 10 years, we'll give you the stretch.
The math would be close enough that they don't mind. So it's not going to be your kids, though. It's going to be kind of tough to have a biological child that's only 10 years younger than you.
So, you know, beneficiaries who are close in age to the IRA to owner, for example, siblings can still get the stretch. So it's probably going to be, my sister's the Benny, and they're going to be close in age. So what that does is cover without having to get down into the weeds with details on that. So it's effective after 29 for deaths in 2019 or prior years. The current rules would remain in place for those accounts. How the post-death IRA rules would work: no annual RMDs. The IRAs must be distributed by December 31st of the 10th year following the year of death. Only the RMD on an inherited IRA would be the balance at the end of the 10th year after death. The entire amount would be the RMD. It's pretty unbelievable how much details are in this. And I don't know, in some cases like that, it super complicates it because you have those exceptions into the mix as well on that exception.
It sounds like it's getting more complicated.
Yeah. You know, as far as what are now from a planning standpoint, what are the big issues? Post-death, people with large IRAs want two things. They want post-death control, and they want to minimize taxes, especially trust taxes. So that either, and that brings us once again into, let me just jump back up here, some of my data. So what this also brings up problems on big IRAs where people IRA trust problems. Most large IRAs are left to trust to protect and preserve those large inherited IRA balances far and from beneficiaries, minors, disabled, spendthrifts, creditor, financial problems, lawsuits, divorces. You know, the list is long of all the potential problems they're trying to protect from. IRA trust benefit, long-term post-death protection and control. Under the old law, when an IRA was left to a trust and the trust qualified as a see-through or pass-through trust, the inherited IRA funds could be stretched over the oldest trust beneficiary's lifetime, leaving the lion's share of the inherited IRA funds protected in trust, possibly for decades. Two types of IRA trusts: conduit trust, discretionary trust. The conduit trust pay out only RMDs through trust bennies over a lifetime. Taxes are paid by the individual beneficiaries at their own personal tax rates. Now, discretionary trust, trustee has the power to pay out the funds to the trust bennies or hold and protect the funds in the trust. The funds held in trust would pay the high trust tax rates. And trust tax rates are pretty high. Essentially, if you have over $12,950 in a trust in 2020, the tax rate is 37%. So it ramps up really quick there. After 10 years, the only RMD would be at the end of 10 years, 100% RMD at that point. There's, you know, problems from a planning standpoint. Conduit trusts will no longer work. They will essentially cease to exist. And that's really because there's no longer annual RMDs. So after 10 years, once again, 100% of the RMDs paid out at that point. All inherited IRA funds would be released to bennies, nullifying any further trust protection. Actually, the opposite of what those large IRA holders want. They want that money to pass out over a longer period of time, having control. So here's an action part for that. Anyone who has named a trust as their IRA beneficiary will need to immediately review and probably revise that trust or scrap it. So trustee IRAs would no longer work. Trust deed IRAs are conduit trusts. They would no longer work. They will all have to be scrapped and redone, probably as discretionary trusts. Many major financial institutions have these in place for their largest IRAs. So there's going to be a lot of work to do. And you know what? It just means there's going to be gaps because people are not going to, you know, humans. put things off. Like, I'll get to it. I'll do it later. I'll call tomorrow. And then tomorrow's the next day and next day and the next day after that. So, you know, that's just why that is really eliminating the stretch is changing a lot of things.
That's a huge overlap that you do with estate planning too. So all these trusts.
It doesn't eliminate it, but you're going to have to adjust. And essentially you can't, and you can have some control and still you have control for 10 years because it's going to be paid out over 10 years, but you're not going to say, well, you know, my $3 million IRA, I want to make sure it lasts for a couple generations. That's over. Well, I just want to make sure they don't spend it, you know, in a few years. I want it to last them 30 or 40 years. No, it can last them 10 years. That's it. You know, sometimes I've heard the phrase, you know, if my kid inherits this, they'd kill themselves. Well, not literally, but the money's going to be bad for them there. So you have some control over it for 10 years. So once again, going back to the eligible designated beneficiaries that are exempt. So once again, the first one is the surviving spouse. The second is minor children, but not grandchildren up to majority. So minor children means up to the age of majority, except if that child is still in school up to age 26. Majority in age in most states is age 18. No age limit if the child is disabled. So the longer the child stays in school, the longer before the 10-year rule begins, but only up to age 26 unless disabled. So they could say, hey, go to school longer, then the stretch starts. So that could be a plan issue, you know, go get your master's, go get your doctorate, whatever, stay in school to 26 for the big ones. And then it all comes out over a 10-year period in that case. Disabled individuals subject to the strict IRS standard of the tax code 72M7, meaning of disabled. And this is a good point to bring up, Joe, because there's sometimes when people talk about disabled, there's different meanings depending on what part of the government we're talking about. But meaning of disabled for purposes of this section, an individual shall be considered to be disabled if he is unable to engage in any substantial gainful activity by reason of any medical, determinable, physical, or mental impairment, which can be expected to result in death or to be of long-term, continued, and indefinite duration. An individual shall not be considered to be disabled unless he furnishes proof of the existence thereof in such a form and manner as the secretary may require.
Oh, man.
You got to really be disabled. It's sitting like, you know, I can't do all jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, like qualifying for Social Security is not really completely disabled because they even allow you to earn some money. But like that exemption of, say, well, you know, early withdrawal penalty. Well, if you're disabled, you're exempted from that penalty. But remember, it's a super complicated description like this. Disabled is disabled. Really? You means you can't do anything.
I like it when you run down the definition of disabled for some of these other programs. Like if you can't do 2 of 7 daily functions, or what is that checklist that you know so well?
Yeah, well, that's receiving long-term care money.
That's another definition of disabled?
That's another
variation
of disabled.
All right. Yeah.
We could do the next few shows on the changes that are coming. So once again, eliminates the age limit for making IRA contributions. The old law, IRA contributions could not be made for the year an IRA owner turned age 70 and a half or later years. Roth IRAs have no such age restrictions. So under the new law, it eliminates the age limit completely. So a number of things that it also increases. So, you know, the backdoor Roth IRA benefit, new opportunities for the backdoor Roth where income was too high to qualify for Roth IRA contribution. Previously, this option would end once the person reached age 70 and a half. So it opens up more opportunity. Spousal IRA benefit, it expands the ability to do more spousal IRA contributions for the non-working spouse. So this is a huge thing for everybody by eliminating the limit, the age limit on contributions. So the next is increases the RMD to age 72. The old law, well, at age 70 and a half, you had to start taking money out of your IRAs. So now they can be delayed to the year in which you turn age 72. So this finally removes the dreaded half year of confusion. You know, you get two birthdays when you're 70, when you're 70 and when you're 70 and a half. What's the big deal about 70? Well, you have to start taking money out your IRA. Now you don't. It's all at age 72.
I didn't even think about that. Can you just do like a little 30-second summary on how complicated it is right now?
Yeah. The required beginning date is April 1st, following the year in which you turn 70 and a half. That's the rule under the old rule, and it's ending now. So it's
good.
Like, now the rule is you've got to start distributions in the year in which you turn 72. Now, I don't know if they'll do this April 1st thing, but why not keep it simple? I wouldn't do that April 1st following the year in which you turn 72. You have to start in the year you're age 72. If you're late, there's a penalty.
I can't believe they're making at least one thing simpler. Yeah. That's so great.
Okay. QCDs affect qualified charitable distributions. The QCD age does not change, so QCDs can be done at age 70 and a half as before, even though no RMDs are required. So it doesn't push back the qualified charitable distribution. Still working exception for plan participants. No effect on this other than employees being able to delay RMDs until age 72, even if not still working. So, and then three, let's go back here to one other thing here. I've got, oh man, this is all exciting stuff. Allows penalty-free withdrawals for birth or adoption. Allows for taxable non-tuition fellowship and stipend payments to be treated as comp. Provides employer liability for annuities and plans. That's going to be a lot to talk about. And then, of course, number six, we already talked about, it eliminates the stretch option there. And then there's just, I'm looking at continued pages upon pages of information that we're going to narrow this down and refine it over the coming days and talk to you more about this. And if you're like, you need planning help, you know, it's kind of what I do in my day job. I have a financial firm. We have a number of great advisors, service team can help you with this. And we have an estate planning attorney as well. So if you had a trust done in the past, say my IRA's beneficiary is a trust, you're probably needing to revisit all that. You need to give us a call on any of these questions, any help. You're going to need to do some planning. Things have changed regarding IRAs, and my office number for daytime is 504-832-9200. And you want to learn more about me and the show and James, GregoryRicks.com.
Before we jump into the numbers, let's mention the live events. There's a Social Security Lunch and Learn coming up January 7th. You have the open house for your Gulfport office coming up the week after that. And then you're following the open house at your Gulfport office with the first Wine, Wisdom, and Food Experience. That's going to be at Keith Young's in Madisonville the next Wednesday.
Yeah, this even brings more importance to some of the stuff that's going to be discussed at that event, because some of the opportunities have changed. There's some higher degree of importance to making sure things are handled correctly. Tax efficiency, you know, with the spending bill, it's ridiculous. The Secure Act is costing the government some revenue too, you know, as well, deferring RMDs to age 72. They're going to make it up in the long run because they took away the stretch. But, you know, and then, of course, the 50-50 money management philosophies covered at that event. So if you want to attend the Wine, Wisdom, and Food Experience at Keith Young's, I've got another one coming up after that in New Orleans.
Right, that's January 27th.
At Rizzuto's. And we have an open house at the Gulfport office. So I have golf offices, Gulfport, Mississippi, Madisonville, Louisiana, and Mandeville, Louisiana. Did I say that right? I thought I said Madisonville.
I think you did.
Offices, Gulfport, Mississippi, Mandeville, Louisiana, Metairie, Louisiana. Get all those M's in there in Louisiana. Or any of these events, you simply have to call one number. That's all. 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com. We were talking about, I had stopped at a store that has no cashiers, and all they do, you have to do your barcode thing and pay with the credit card, self-checkout. And that's your only option. Now, I've been to stores where it's like that, and I'm like, where's the line with the cashier? I just want them to do it for me. And there's, you know, like these big hardware stores, lumber store, whatever, not going to name any names, but there's one of them. Now I've, cause you asked me, do you like that? I didn't like that at first, but now I'm pretty adjusted to doing it. And if something goes wrong, they do have somebody there to help you through. So you know what? I'm good with it. And I did it. It's like, there's no cashier. Okay. I'll just do it myself. I'd never done that in the grocery store before until a couple weeks ago.
I can tell you my behavior pattern perfectly. If I have a ton of stuff, it doesn't matter. I'm going to wait in the line no matter how long the line is for a human being to do it.
Yeah, a buggy full of stuff.
Because you don't have the room to deal with it all.
I know, that's complicated, but all the small, you've got a few items. I agree. I feel you on that.
And if I'm just carrying a basket of stuff, and there's no line, if there's a cashier with no line, I'll go to the cashier. But if there's one person and it's faster, I'll self-check out. And I've done it so much, I've started to memorize my PLUs for produce. Like bananas are 4011.
Oh, you're way more acclimated than me. I don't know about, I'm like, I would avoid produce.
Yeah, produce, you do the lookup number.
Get this, one of my jobs I did in high school, and I did a lot, I don't always tell this in my story, but I worked in a grocery store as well as some of my other side gigs while going to school. And yeah, produce always slowed things down because you had to punch in the codes and stuff. But this is a long ways back before barcodes and scanning, because we had to like type in everything. Every item had to be priced in, not just swiping it. That was really old school.
Oh man.
Okay. So
I worked at a grocery store in high school.
Okay. Yeah. So you feel the pain there.
I was a buggy pusher. That wasn't my official title, but that's what we were called.
I did that. Buggy pusher. Bagging, stocking, filling the specials. Like I did one of those, they put me on the stocking crew for a week. See how I'd like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it involved some overnight stocking. It only took one night of that and I was done.
Really? Because that was a promotion. That was considered, those guys were above us in the social hierarchy. The stockers were above the buggy pushers.
Yeah, I thought that until I did that. And I'm like, nah, I'm not feeling it. It's very tiring to stock vegetables in the middle of the night. So what's going on with Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow won the Heisman. He did his speech here. And listen, usually when I do audio like this, I will cut out the gaps if a speaker leaves a lot of gaps, just so I can get a 40-second audio clip down to 28 seconds. That means all the difference in the world on the radio. I left them in for Joe Burrow because
have an effect.
Yes. So he gets up there, and after it takes him about 20 seconds to even start talking, he thanks his team first.
I want to thank my O-line first. Sadiq, Adrian, Ed, Lloyd, D-Lou, Austin, Badara, Thad, our tight end with the chips. For guys like Chase, those guys have been unbelievable this year, and I couldn't have done it without them. I got so many weapons on the outside, Terrace, Jamar, Justin. I mean, those guys have been unbelievable.
Now, we've seen other Heisman people do this. They go in and they thank their team first, but he doesn't stop there. He never at any point makes this speech about him. Did you notice that?
I noticed it. It was pretty big.
Yeah, he did a whole...
And he named all the O-line, the starters. And the thing is, they have starters, but there's variation of starters because you have to rotate players, especially with the way they roll on offense. You'll be wearing your linemen out there. You just keep throwing them in there because they're not like taking breaks between plays. They're lining right back up and going again. Go ahead.
Then he goes to thank his family. He starts with his dad.
Tom said my dad had first time in 51 years that he wasn't a player or a coach, and him retiring this year has been, you know, a dream come true for me and my family. My brother's in the audience, my mom.
First time in 51 years his dad's not on a football field, and it was just to see his son. He can only do that because he was financially independent. I bet you every dad who has a quarterback playing in the SEC wishes they could take a year off work to follow their son around and be right next to him through this. What a gift, huh?
Yeah.
Here's the most touching part. He talks about his hometown. I mean, are we even ready for this? I don't want to say this is heartbreaking stuff, but I'm not used to having emotions, Gregory. This is weird.
Coming from Southeast Ohio, it's a very, very impoverished area, and the poverty rate is almost two times the national average, and there's so many people there that don't have a lot. And I'm up here for all those kids in Athens and in Athens County that, you know, go home to not a lot of food on the table, hungry after school. You guys can be up here too. I'd like to thank.
All right, now because he said that, what's the financial aftermath of that, Gregory?
Last sum I know is over $300,000 raised. It may be quite a bit more today.
Last I saw was 367 was the number. Okay, I saw this
morning.
It's
approaching 400,000.
All right, and then he goes on to thank all of Louisiana, Louisiana State, Ohio, and the last part, the longest part, was for Coach O. Let's do Susan in New Orleans. We're kind of running out of time here. Hey, Susan, how can we help you? You're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
I was calling. My mother and I have a piece of property. She had a home, and we tore the house down and sold the property. So we'll be receiving, you know, two separate checks for the property. And my mother and I both are leaving that whole thing to my son. So I was trying to determine what's the best way to handle that so that I wouldn't be paying plenty taxes, or he wouldn't be, or she. And then there's this tax law. If you've been living in the home at $250,000 or less, you don't have any taxes to pay if you've been in it for years. So I'm just confused.
So when did you inherit this property?
Probably in the 70s, maybe.
Okay. And you've been living in the home, but now you've torn it down and sell the property. You're living elsewhere?
My mother lives in the home. I live in a different home.
Okay. But the property's going to be sold or has been sold?
It has been sold, and we're waiting. You know, the act of sale is like tomorrow, so I'll be getting two separate checks, and I didn't know if I should put them in the same bank.
Mother's no longer alive?
She's alive.
Okay, so you're getting a check for her and a check for you, but you're wanting to leave it to another person. I'll tell you, this is a little bit complicated because of its inheritance timeline and then the taxes about living in it. I'm not going to touch this. This is what call a CPA. You know, one of the contributors to our show is Jude Heath of J. Heath & Company, and a link to him is on my website at gregoryricks.com, because you've got a number of scenarios wrapped up here, and you're wanting to gift it to somebody else. This is what CPAs are made for, so I'd rather defer to that. That's the greatest advice.
All right, if you need more financial help, I recommend you begin your search, gregoryricks.com, or the office number for Gregory Ricks & Associates is 504-832-9200. Your home away from the show for Winning It Life is the winningitlife.com and Winning It Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks and Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.